Welcome to the Low Carb Island Podcast with your hosts, Derek and Talaine Smith, answering all your questions about a low carb, high fat lifestyle. Hi, and welcome to episode 5 of the Low Carb Island Podcast. I'm Derek.
I'm Talaine.
And we're stoked to have you back for another episode. Hope you enjoyed episode 4 with Gary Fetke.
It was such a good one.
Loads of amazing information. And today's episode, again, is no exception with special guest from the UK.
Sam Feltham.
That's it. Sam runs smashthefat.com and he's renowned for his personal calorie experiments.
Yeah, worldwide for that. And he also is extremely well known in England for his boot camps.
Yeah, you know about England.
I do know about England.
You've come from there.
I'm from Essex.
We'll talk about that a bit later in the podcast. But for now, I just want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by optimoz.com.au. Now, they are Australia's leading online store for ketogenic supplements, basically.
Yeah, they're your best tool in Australia to get the supplements that are going to help you with your ketogenic life. They help you perform better and live every moment of life till its fullest.
That sounds like a catchphrase.
It's a pretty good one.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
They are the Australian stockists of Bulletproof. So a lot of people have heard of Bulletproof coffee. If you're wanting to get the upgraded brain octane, the upgraded vanilla, XCT oil, which is like the next level up of MCT oil.
We use all three of those products personally.
It's brilliant stuff. And you really do notice your cognitive function increase.
Yeah, it helps me with my mental health, I've found.
Yeah. So they've got a lot of great products. We'll put the link to their website in our show notes, but make sure you check them out, guys, optimoz.com.au. And if you do want to place an order with them, please use the promo code.
Yep, which is Optimoz Low Carb Island. That will get you 10% off any order that is for first time customers.
Excellent. So make sure you take advantage of that, guys. But with no further ado, let's get straight to the amazing Sam Feltham.
Woohoo!
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Sam, how you doing?
Good, mate. You?
Very good.
Hey, Talaine, how you going?
I'm really well, thank you.
Thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show.
Oh, that's all good. It's my pleasure. Yeah. Always happy to talk.
Sam, we want to talk to you today about calories. It's something that comes up a lot in the world of discussions about weight loss. And yet, I've got a feeling that the paradigm out there is a little bit off the way people think about them. I've read that for me to maintain my current weight, I'd need to eat around 2,000 calories a day by traditional thinking. Mm-hmm. And to see dramatic weight loss even drop down to, say, 1,200 calories a day. But you've done some experiments where you've actually spent a number of weeks eating over 5,000 calories and found some quite interesting things. So we'd love to chat with you today about that and what you discovered.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was kind of, it's almost coming up to 2 years ago that I started on this this calorie quest, I suppose I can call it. And it started off with a 21-day low carb, high fat diet of real foods.
Yes.
And where I was eating 5,794 calories a day.
Yeah.
Right. Which is basically double the amount that I usually eat.
Yeah.
I wanted to do that to see kind of what exactly would happen. Cause as he kind of said there in the introduction, you know, if you eat more calories than you expend, then you're going to put on weight and all that kind of conventional thinking.
Yeah, calories in, calories out.
Yeah, and it's as simple as that. Unfortunately, it's not.
Exactly.
but I wish it was. Honestly, I do wish it was, but it's not. What happened over those 21 days is that I ended up in a 50,000 calorie surplus and net surplus at that. So that's after the thermogenic effect of protein and the loss of dietary fiber and kind of any loss from any exercise as well. And that equals about six kilograms of weight gain that I should have had. But I only gained just over a kilo and I actually lost 3 centimeters from my waist as well.
Well, that just blows the conventional thinking out of the water straight away, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And almost every overfeeding experiment does, actually. And there are a lot of good overfeeding experiments where they keep them in metabolic wards. So, you know, they track absolutely everything. I'll get into that later on.
Okay.
But going back to my own self-experiments. So that was the first one. And that was really interesting to me because I've always been, you know, a naturally slim guy.
Yes.
But, and so kind of from that, I've always been skeptical about calories because I can eat as much as I want and I don't put on weight. Right. So surely the converse is true as well.
Yeah.
You know, if I can eat as much as I want and I don't put on weight, people can eat, you know, just a little bit and they can put on weight, mm-hmm. you know, because of different body types and such.
For sure.
But anyway, so that was the first one. The second one, I decided to do the complete opposite, but the same amount of calories. Okay. So I ate a high carb, low fat diet of fake food. So it was almost what all of the kind of, you know, heart foundations and diabetes foundations
our
recommend.
Favorite ones.
Yes.
Yeah, isn't it? So it was basically, you know, cereal and skim milk for breakfast, 0% fat yogurt, and kind of, you know, skinless chicken sandwiches mm-hmm. for lunch, and then low fat garlic bread. You know, it's important that it's low fat, right?
Yeah. Hopefully it was seed oils, any fats you put on there as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Straight up vegetable oil, right. Sunflower oil. I love it. I want to oxidize my arteries to the hilt.
Oh yeah.
Anyway. So I did that exactly the same amount of calories, and I ended up in the same amount of net calorie surplus, so yes. 50, about just under 50,000 calories,
yep.
which again should have equaled 6 kilograms of weight gain. And I actually put on just over 7 kilograms.
Wow!
So I actually put on more weight than what the calorie formula said I would put on.
And the first time you put on what, just over a kilo with the LCHF, and you lost 1 inch off your waist or 3 centimeters.
Yeah, so yeah, I lost 3 centimeters. And then on this experiment, I put on 9.25 centimeters on my waist.
Wow, in the 3-week period.
Yeah, just in 3 weeks. That's, you know, 3 centimeters a week.
Yeah.
And for any kind of American and UK listeners, yes, 1 inch a week, putting on 1 inch a week isn't good, especially for a naturally slim guy.
Yeah.
Especially around the waist as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Visceral fat.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of really dangerous.
That's it.
And the guy that was kind of looking after me during that time was Dr. Asim Malhotra, the science director of Action on Sugar over here in the UK. And he looked at my blood work and he was saying, basically, you developed metabolic syndrome in about 3 weeks.
Wow.
Which is rather worrying because my triglycerides quadrupled in that time, which is extremely worried. My HDL went down by a third.
Wow.
And my LDL actually went down a little bit. So for any kind of conventional cardiologist, they'd look at that
great.
And kind of and think, brilliant.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You know, your LDL's gone down. Well done. And, you know, not looking at the triglycerides that are quadrupled, and according to a lot of studies, it's more of a predictor of heart disease than anything else.
Yes.
And 16 times so in some. And so that was really worrying. But thankfully, after those 3 weeks, I immediately went on to back to LCHF.
Yes.
But I did it at calorie maintenance. So I was eating around about 3,500 calories a day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because the whole point was that, okay, now that I've put on 7 kilos, I'm going to try and maintain this weight gain. So I ate at 3,500 calories, trying to maintain the weight that I could. But over those 3 weeks of eating at calorie maintenance on LCHF, I lost 6.5 kilos.
Wow, which is another sign that low carb, high fat gets the body where it needs to be.
Yeah, that's precisely it.
That would have been a lot of the inflammation as well dropped out. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's rather incredible. It actually flabbergasted me, I suppose is the word. And it kind of really, that in itself kind of shows that, you know, that it's not about energy balance. It's about a biochemical balance, which is what we need to create.
Yeah.
And with an LCHF style diet, you can, you know, eat a fair bit more, even eating at calorie maintenance and still kind of, well, superficial calorie maintenance, that is, and still lose weight, you know, and you're not hungry on these diets as well. That's kind of like a real clue into how these diets are actually working, and that it's about a biochemical balance. It's not about this superficial calorie balance that people keep on going on about.
Yeah, and you're not forcing yourself, with LCHF, you're not forcing yourself to restrict calories like a lot of conventional wisdom and conventional diets tell us to do, you know, cut back and restrict this and restrict that to the point where you're feeling hungry. With LCHF, like personally, Talane and I, we promote a method we call KISS, just keep it simple and, you know, eat the foods you're allowed to eat. And we find you don't really have to count things. It's quite liberating because you will naturally calorie restrict by being satiated all the time.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of trying to create a natural way of eating, really, because, you know, every other animal on the planet does this automatically. But thanks to the human brain, we've complicated things. Which isn't particularly useful. So, eating this style of eating actually allows you to not feel stressed, not under pressure, and feel like it's completely natural.
Yes.
Yet we still have many, many government organisations around the world, that is, kind of opposing to this, despite the fact that, you know, the actual, and it's not just my crazy self experiments that are supporting this, you know, it's not just one guy from East London. It's the randomized controlled trials from the past, well, from the past 100 years, but particularly from the past 15 years. There have been 25 randomized controlled trials comparing a low carb, high fat diet to the conventional low-fat calorie counting guidelines. And in every single one, LCHF loses more weight and they become healthier. And kind of when you look at all of the results as well, they lose 65% more weight despite eating a little bit more and become 3.5 times healthier as well.
I know, even for myself, it's just a no-brainer. It's just, even I get my own blood test done every 3 months. Being diabetic, I also have liver disorder and numerous things. My blood tests every 3 months over the last 12 months have remarkably changed to the point of being on no medication now for it. And that speaks for itself.
Oh, wow.
So I've been lucky to unintentionally be experimenting on myself. So I just did it because of my health issues. And it just means I have all of that proof constantly sitting there of how much improvement just by changing what I'm eating has made to every aspect, from my liver to the diabetes, even now being in pregnancy, and people question this lifestyle with pregnancy. I'm learning that mighty quick. But every blood test says the opposite, and that's enough. It's enough for our GPs. It's enough for the doctors. It has them asking questions and opening up to more.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what it's all about. The bottom line is health. You know, if you get slimmer on the way, that's cool. But yeah, the main point is health and metabolic health as well, which can be, you know, proven through your blood tests.
Yes.
And if your blood tests are sort of saying, you know, you've got low triglycerides, you've got high HDL, you know, your blood sugar is controlled, your HbA1c is under control, and, you know, you're reducing your medication. Yes. Yeah, there's a clear sign that you are getting healthier. It doesn't matter, you know, what you're eating, as long as you're actually getting healthier.
Yes.
And that's what actually matters. And kind of just looking at the scientific evidence, the best place to start is through eat as much as you want LCHF style diet.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's the way it is.
And it's I find it sometimes a lot of our support groups and that, we have a lot of people who come into it thinking this is a diet. So say they think they've got 5 kilos to lose. I'm not sure how to change that to pounds.
Yeah.
What's that one?
That's 11 pounds.
Okay, so we'll have people come in who are at really their optimal health. They already are, not health-wise as in what they're eating, but at the weight, but they're coming into it not realizing it's just a lifestyle change.
They're just looking for a quick fix.
Yeah, and they don't understand their body just doesn't do it. It just doesn't, because they're already there. But then you start to, I just keep bringing up, okay, well, how are you feeling mental health-wise? How's your cholesterol? Mm-hmm. How's all the different aspects? A lot of these are fitness people too. So weight training and that, they start to see the changes in that. And that brings them around, but they still are frustrated because to them, they've got that, say, 5 kilos to lose. But their bodies just don't do it.
Which they may not necessarily need to lose, except for maybe for the sake of vanity. You know, sometimes there's people that are thin who are on the inside quite sick and unhealthy because of the food they eat. They're just blessed with a metabolism that gives them a physique that people envy, but inside they're not healthy. And then there's people that might carry a bit of extra weight, but all their blood markers are spot on.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, I mean, you've got to be careful of developing toffee, which is exactly what you said there, thin on the outside, fat on the inside.
Yes.
And kind of in the UK, 40% of people with metabolic syndrome have got a normal BMI. So you do have to be careful. Even if you are slim, then you still need to go get your blood work done.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just as many slim people die of heart attacks as do overweight and obese people.
Yes.
Yeah, you know? That's something so, I keep pushing. The blood tests are really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like in sport, there's a real rise of heart conditions and things, and that could possibly be down to the recommendations of the past 30 years.
The carb loading.
Just the carb loading, basically, and the damage that's doing to the arterial wall, and then kind of the buildup of plaque from there.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where all of that kind of stems from, really, is the damage from copious amounts of sugar and refined carbohydrates on the endothelium, and then the plaque builds up from there. You know, the fat and cholesterol is there to try and heal it, but it keeps on building up because it keeps on getting damaged,
yep.
basically, from Absolutely. The carbs.
Yeah. We've got quite a lot of people that message us regularly, and some of them, they'll start low carb, high fat. Within a week or 2 weeks, they're seeing massive weight loss. And then there's other people who will message us and say, look, it's week three, it's week four, and maybe I've even gained half a kilo, or I'm not seeing the loss that other people are. I'm getting a bit disheartened. But after 20 to 30 years on a low fat, fake food diet, what would your advice be to these people when they're just starting out?
Well, this is the thing. If you've been on a low fat fake food diet for 20 to 30 years, three or four weeks is relatively small fry in terms of trying to reverse two or three decades worth of damage.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that's kind of the reality of the situation. And you have to stick with it firstly. And your body will eventually start to come back to biochemical balance. And that just takes time, unfortunately. It could take up to 6 weeks before you see any weight loss.
Yes.
Yeah, that's something I say. And a lot of people who are yo-yoing, I understand it's persevering with it and it becomes more of a habit with it. But I keep trying to explain to them, that's why you're not seeing those results. It's, yes, it is a journey and we're learning, but you can't be disheartened that there's no weight loss in that moment, because our body's just, if you're, say, eating carbs every weekend and then trying again on the Monday, you're not going to see those results until your body's balanced.
Yeah, that's right. That can knock you out of balance right there. So trying to stick to it as much as you can is ideal. And the way that I try and get people to commit to it, to at least, 4 to 6 weeks, near enough 100%, is by asking them for their personal purpose to become healthier, and if they want to, slimmer.
Yes.
As well. And with that purpose, I get them to write that down on a bit of white card, and a credit card sized bit of white card as well. So you write down that purpose, that personal purpose to you. It's not an end goal at all. You know, it's an actual purpose. You know, do you want to do it for your children? Do you want to do it for your partner? Do you want to do it just for a better quality of life, quantity of life as well? And just write that down on that bit of white card, and then put it inside your wallet or purse and place it on top of the credit card that you use the most.
Yes.
So every time that you go to pay for something, you're going to be seeing that purpose, and it reminds you most likely on a daily basis, you know, this is why you're doing this, because you need that underlying reason as to why to be able to tolerate the how as well.
Yeah.
Because you're getting these thousands of marketing messages every single day, and although you know it's a load of bull, you still need that reminder for yourself as to why exactly that you're doing this. So it's so important to have that reason as to why, so you can tolerate anyhow.
Yes. That's brilliant. I think that's something I did indirectly. I didn't write it on a piece of paper, but I decided 30th of December 2013, this is happening. And I went and wrote a blog straight away about it and put my reasons on there and thought, I'm just putting it out there straight away and said, you know, I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this for my boys so that I can be healthy and be around. And I was confident that the weight was going to drop. I'd done a lot of research on various diets. And from what I'd read about LCHF, I was confident it was going to happen. So I started that blog and put up a before photo and said, here it is, watch the journey. And sure enough, it did. And so many people we're seeing the same story from. It's brilliant. But I love the idea of putting it in your wallet. So when you go to buy for that junk food, you're getting reminded as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we, unfortunately, we're creatures of habit and we need reminding on a daily basis, you know, of these things. That's why they have to repeat marketing messages.
Yes.
You know, so that it gets ingrained in your brain. And it gets to a point where you just know your purpose as to why you want to become healthier and slimmer. And, you know, this kind of works in business as well, and things, or, you know, any part of life where, you know, if you decide on a purpose and remind yourself on a daily basis as to why you're doing this, then that will help push you forward to succeeding.
Yeah, it keeps you going and it keeps you coming back, even if you do go back into the normal society of ways, it brings you back. And it's another good point of LCHF as well. Your body feels it. For those times when you do, I emphasize to people who keep reaching out to us, listen to your body, because you feel so dreadful. Like, yeah, even if you did it for 1 or 2 days, by the time you've eaten a couple of those meals, your energy's gone, you're nauseous, you've got stomach cramps, you've got all of it. And if you listen to it, it's sort of that subliminal message that makes those habits change more and more until it just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I can't imagine how dreadful you would have felt after the 21 days on a high carb diet. Once you'd been, yeah, so I'm assuming you were keto adapted before you started that experiment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Certainly. And yeah, that's a really important point, actually, is the difference in terms of how I felt on the two different experiments. So on the LCHF experiment, that was kind of my diet before. I was just increasing the quantity, basically.
Yes.
And I just felt like I had more energy because I was eating more, and because the energy was available to be used, I had a lot more energy.
Right.
I just felt bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, basically.
Did you struggle to eat that many calories in a low-carb, high-fat diet?
Yeah, that was really tough. By the end of the day, it was a real struggle. It was a real struggle. You know, having to stuff down the last beef steak. it was tough going. And then after that, I had like 1,000 calories of almonds to eat. That was really tough going. But conversely on the high carb, low fat, fake food diet, it was almost a complete opposite. You know, eating all of that food was a breeze.
Yeah. Yes. It's unsatisfying. You just keep wanting more.
Yeah, that's it. And I could have probably eaten more even when I finished, because I finished the day on like 16 mini chocolate bars. which, you know, is great for a few days. And then after a few days, then you start, you know, getting acid reflux and starting feeling a little bloated. Bit sickly in your throat. Yeah, bloated. And all over the place.
It comes back to your body as well. It's the fact that I look at it, if your body's still seeking stuff, even when you're probably sick from all the food you eat and you're still seeking food, you're still thinking you want more, it's because it's looking for something.
That it's not getting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's a real important observation in the difference between these styles of diet, is that on the LCHF, I was satisfied. I couldn't have eaten any more, you know. It's kind of self-limiting. But then the opposite is happening on the high-carb, low-fat, fake food diet, where I could have kept eating.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because my body is growing. It's storing the fat in the fat cells rather than allowing it, than liberating it to be used as energy. It's locking it away and it's creating more fat cells as well.
Yep, exactly. One of the questions we got, I actually grew up in England. I'm from Essex. I keep that pretty quiet.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, she is.
I lost that one mighty quick.
Yeah.
But the school, we said that we're speaking to you today, and a lot of the English people reached out about the school diet. Having grown up and gone to school in England, it made me laugh straight away. Living off SpaghettiOs and hot chips at your hot lunch was how we lived. Is there much going on over there? I know it's been harder. We're pretty lucky in Australia. We embrace sort of the pure eating and different aspects health-wise. I know growing up over there, it was the last thing on my mind. People didn't even know what an avocado was when I was over there.
So I see Britain's a funny old place. And when Jamie Oliver, I think, tried probably about, it must be 10 years ago now.
Yeah, it would be close to that.
Yeah, to try and improve school dinners somewhat, at least getting them to eat real food. Not that Jamie Oliver's kind of a low carb kind of guy, but
still better than the options they had.
Precisely, he was still trying to push for real food, which is fine by me. And when he was doing that, he did it so that they had exactly the same budget, and he was trying to get it so that it took exactly the same amount of time as well. So it was no you know, skin off your back, basically. So it's still using the same amount of money, takes up the same amount of time. But it's going to make the children healthier and more attentive in school, which is the main thing. And even then, there were parents there that were sneaking in McDonald's meals through the school gates.
Wow.
Yeah, the diet when I was there, I grew
mental.
Up, it's crazy. I was lucky to have traveled before we settled there, so I had experienced a lot of cuisine, and I came from a different place. But I had friends that would come over for dinner, say at our family's house, and they wouldn't know what the food is we were serving. They were used to having baked beans and hot chips with whatever they were having at dinner. It was surreal. I remember I came back to Australia when I was 17. And the first thing I wanted was a salad, because the only salads I got in England was the prepackaged Caesar salads you would get at Tesco's. It was just, it's surreal, the diet over there. I was just wondering if there was any improvement. I think from the people reaching out to us, there's not much.
No, there's not much movement at all, which is kind of really frustrating, actually. Myself, Zoe Harkham, Dr. Mahotra, and people like that, all the real foodies over here, are really trying to push it. I mean, you might have seen all the coverage that Zoe got yesterday about the FAT guidelines not having any good evidence anyway.
Yeah. Yes.
One of our English supporters actually shared that, was sharing quite a lot of those articles with us on one of our support groups.
Yeah, so she got a lot of coverage for that, and kind of internationally as well, actually, which is fantastic.
That is.
And that's kind of the start for us. We've got a couple of things planned to try and stir the pot a little bit. And hopefully, you know, just in the coming years, things will improve through kind of this unnecessary battle for common sense, which is what it seems to me. But
it
people
does.
Just come back.
It seems, I don't know, I was in a poorer area too when I was in Essex. I went to school in Chigwell, but I was on the outskirts where I lived. Yeah, we'll just say Ilford very quietly.
There you go.
There we go.
I can catch the number 25.
Oh, really? I know that one well. But it was seemed ignorance, like it just did. People weren't aware of food. It really was mind blowing. They'd go to the local kebab shop, even at lunch at school. They'd have the ice cream van out the front. It was just a whole different culture, and people had no interest. It was just, there was no interest in it. It was go drink different flavored Rabinas and get your hot chips and then your ice cream from out the front. And it never changed when I was there. And it was actually, the options weren't there. I had no options. If I got hot dinner at school, or even if you went out for dinners, a lot of it are family chains, which is a lot of carbs and American based. They didn't seem to have a high quality cuisine, which is, I hate to use the word, but it seemed really ignorant, and people are just unaware.
Yeah, they are kind of unaware. It is slightly down to some form of ignorance. And then also at the same time, particularly in East London and Essex, because they're almost one and the same, as you know.
As I know well.
But yeah, that's right. But the amount of fake food, fast food chains that are in East London and East Essex, West Essex as well is unbelievable. Where I have my own location of boot camps, on that road, which is Roman Road, you might know it.
I know Roman Road well.
Yeah, there you go, just down the road from you.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. It's like, it's almost like every other shop is a kebab shop.
Exactly.
You know, and a chip shop. And,
yeah, it's not changed like them.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
And I found it scary. And my sister actually. Yeah, I grew up in a foster family, and my sister's a sports person, and she was a dancer, a paid dancer. And when she came over there, she struggled. She left early. She went and traveled Europe and stuff because she gained weight, and there was no other options. And even when you went to the supermarket there, it was all processed. Like, it was so surreal to see your salad stuff come in bags and pre-dressed, and I was just blown. We were blown away as a family when we moved there to what the cuisine was, especially because you hear so much culture in England. But we were in Essex, and it was a poorer society, and I was just flabbergasted. And I gained a lot of weight when I went to England. You live off potatoes and beans. Mm-hmm. It's culture.
Yeah, and battered fish. Battered fish as well.
Exactly.
takes all the omega-3s out of it. Brilliant.
Yeah.
not ideal. And yeah, as I say, people like myself, Zoe Harkham, and Dr. Mahotra are really trying to push for real food, and many other people as well. And fingers crossed, you know, just in the next 5 years, we'll make a real push for it and start making some real changes as well.
That's brilliant. Sam, you mentioned earlier how Jamie Oliver was trying to get the real food movement happening in the schools. And I know you've long been an advocate of eating real food, but not necessarily low carb, high fat. What was the turnaround for you? When did you start realizing low carb, high fat was the key to a lot of health concerns?
It was probably about 5 years ago now, when I first started to properly get into personal training, really. Because you go through personal trainer school. I went to the European Institute of Fitness. And qualified as a master personal trainer there.
Yes.
And then you come out of that and, you know, you're thinking, okay, people need to be, low fat. And, you know, I mean, there was general connotations of kind of restricting carbohydrates there, but the main focus was still just calories.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was still telling people to, you know, just exchange white bread for brown bread, like it's going to make a difference. and just making kind of, you know, apparently small changes there. And you just don't see any results happening. Nothing happens.
No.
You know, people stay the same because the majority of my clients tend to be 30 to 50 year old women with 2 or 3 stones to lose. That's approximately 10, 15 kilos. And many of them kind of, you know, on the higher end are kind of, you know, starting to go into menopause as well, which is, you know, a whole nother ball game. So, you know, if you're just telling people to count calories there and it doesn't matter what you're going to eat, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? So I started researching it more and more, you know, read Why We Get Fat by Gary Taubes.
Yes.
And loads of the other books, you know, Wheat Belly and stuff like that. And, you know, the only conclusion that you can make from there is to start telling people to restrict carbohydrates is the best starting point for people, and you know, obviously keeping it to real food. And then kind of with myself as well, when I started to connect the dots, you start to realize, because I used to do a little bit of fitness modeling as well.
Yes.
And the one thing that you do as a fitness model stroke bodybuilder to manipulate your body fat percentage is by restricting carbohydrates.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that you always do. So when you're in a bulking phase, you increase the amount of carbohydrates. When you're in a cut phase, then you reduce the amount of carbohydrates, you know. Technically you reduce the amount of calories as well, but you know, if calories is what just matters, you know, eat as many carbohydrates as you want, but you still have to restrict the carbohydrates as well.
Yes.
To make sure that you get lean enough for the photo shoot. So that's when I kind of started to connect the dots. You know, bodybuilders have been doing this for ages, really. And then, you know, just the scientific evidence is totally in support of it as well.
That's brilliant. Well, we've found nothing but success with it. And so many things you don't even realize is one of the things that's occurred to me in hindsight. I'd never realized how sick I was until I started eating this way. And then just little things you take for granted and you think, well, that's just part of getting older. You know, feeling lethargic all the time, getting heartburn regularly after your meals. I'd often, this is funny, I'd sit down to a big bowl of spaghetti bolognese and I'd always get heartburn afterwards. And I'd convince myself it was, you know, the garlic and the onions and all those things. But as soon as I'll make the same dish now without the pasta and there's no drama at all. And it was those grains and the processed carbohydrates that they cause a lot of damage and we don't even realize it.
Yeah, it's causing all sorts of problems within your gut in terms of, you know, creating leaky gut syndrome as well as detrimentally manipulating your gut bacteria as well, which I think is an important point to make as well, is that when you are transitioning, and I should have explained this earlier, when you're transitioning from that low-fat fake food diet to a low-carb real foods diet, your gut bacteria has to change as well. So when it's making that adaptation, that's when you might not see weight loss as well. So one thing to help that along is with fermented foods, kind of particularly things like sauerkraut and kefir and stuff like that.
Okay.
You know, so when you are making that transition, I highly recommend trying to at least get those types of foods in a few times a week. And if you don't particularly like those types of foods, those soury type foods, one thing that you can buy is kombucha, which is a fermented Japanese tea. I don't know how widely available that is in Australia.
Very. But it's huge at the moment with the paleo.
There's a lot of it. So there's some people, they're still selling it with fruit juices added.
It's a careful thing here at the moment. It's become so popular.
So you really need to be careful about your sources then in terms of, you know, just not making sure that they're not adding any sugar or fruit juices and things like that. And then it's just kind of, you know, pure kombucha, maybe with a bit of ginger or something like that, you know, is the main thing. And that, you know, it's as close as to zero carb as possible, basically. So, yeah, you know, including something like kombucha at your lunchtime meal, you know, just so, you know, you are feeding your gut bacteria to help it adapt, because it's going to be completely changing from where it is on a low-fat fake food diet to a low-carb real food diet.
And would you think with that adaptation period, it would be longer for people who say have done more damage? People have dieted a lot over the years. It might take a bit longer for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's exactly that, actually. So the more damage that you've done, the more set in stone your gut bacteria is. So you'll have to just put in a little bit more work and a bit more time into making that adaptation. So for all those folks that are still in plateaus when they've started a low carb real food diet, keep on going, please.
Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. What we advocate. And also with the kombucha, a lot of health food shops here do the starter kits now. Your best option is to grow your own.
Scooby. Is that what it's called? A scoby? Scoby.
Scoby.
Scooby? Scoby.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, I think we're pronouncing it wrong.
I just like saying that word, even when I say it wrong.
Scooby-Doo.
Something along those lines.
Sam, it's been brilliant talking today, and I've learned some stuff myself. I wanted to ask you, you've got a new book out called Slimology. Now, don't give the whole game away, but what could our listeners expect to find in that book there?
I think the tagline for it is the relatively simple science of slimming. I mean, it's relatively simple to a certain degree, and it's a real distillation of what LCHF basically is, what the science is, and also kind of an action plan with a workout, with a 12-week workout plan as well, some basic recipes, but also the science of the exercise component. Which is kind of important for people to start to understand. And kind of the one thing that I use in there is the work done by Jeff Folick in his FASTA study, where he compared low-carb diet athletes to high-carb diet athletes. And basically, the low-carb diet athletes end up oxidizing double the amount of fat that high-carb diet athletes do.
Oh, wow.
So it's really kind of important that people start to understand that the more carbs you eat, the less fat that you're going to oxidize, and vice versa. The lower carb that you go, the more fat that you'll start to oxidize, basically, with many caveats kind of in there. But that's generally kind of what's happening in exercise. So if you're eating a high carb diet with exercise, it's not really going to do anything at all. But if you do exercise with a low carb diet, then you start to oxidize a little bit more fat, basically. Kind of putting that in there as well. And the written section itself is just 50 pages, so you can actually power read it in about 2 hours if you know you've got a flight or you know a long coach journey, which I know you guys have.
And with the exercise in there, you give a plan with that. Mm-hmm. It's something we're only bringing into our journey. I've lost 72 kilos so far, and I'm at the point where I have to introduce the exercise. Thank you. The exercise aspect, and we've only just started researching that. So people ask us that a lot, and your book will give that kind of advice for people.
Yeah, they do. It does. Excellent. So it's got a pure breakdown of all of that with pictures and whatnot as well. And it also... links to the YouTube channel as well, where I've got all the workouts for free. So you know, you don't have to buy the book necessarily. You can just go to the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/smashthefat.
Smash the fat.
That's in my Cockney accent.
It makes you so fit.
Yeah, that's right. But on the channel there, if you just scroll down, then there's a playlist of all the workouts there, and you can follow them on the YouTube channel there as
well.
Excellent.
Fantastic. I'm going to pop those links in the show notes for today's episode. And also your website is smashthefat.com, is that right?
That's the one. And people can kind of find me on Twitter and Facebook and all that jazz as well from there.
Fantastic. All that social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
All that modern stuff.
Sam, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us today.
Thank you, Sam. Thoroughly
enjoyed it. And hopefully we'll catch up again in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely, guys. Thanks very much.
That was such a lot of awesome information. Like always, love talking with Sam.
Yes, we had the privilege of actually being on his video podcast.
We did. I was pregnant and we had to get up at 2 a.m. I was a grumpy sod.
Yeah. That's the challenge of the time difference here in Australia. A lot of our low-carb, high-fat experts are based in South Africa, America, UK. But we do have some homegrown heroes as well.
We do. Upcoming episode with the famous...
Christine Cronow.
One of my all-time favourites who got me started.
Yes, she is brilliant. So we're looking forward to that episode. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be back with a brand new episode, but just want to let you know again, today's episode of the Low Carb Island podcast was sponsored and brought to you by...
Optimoz.com.au.
That's right, and they are specialists in a ketogenic lifestyle supplements.
They are.
The only real online store in Australia to get all those fantastic products from the Primal Collective, from Bulletproof, just brilliant stuff. So check them out. Optimoz.com.au. We'll put the link in the show notes. And if you do place an order with them, be sure to use the promo code
Optimoz Low Carb Island, and that will get you 10% off any orders for first time customers.
That's it. So check them out, guys. And all the links to Sam's smashthefat.com and his social media links will be in the show notes.
Make sure to check it out. He's got a lot of amazing resources on his stuff.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Thanks, guys. And we'll chat real soon on the Low Carb Island podcast.
Bye.
This has been another episode of the Low Carb Island podcast with your hosts Derek and Talaine Smith. We'll be back real soon with another episode. Until then, keep up to date on our Facebook page or check out www.lowcarbisland.com.
Hey, everyone, don't forget to check out www.lowcarbisland.com. Have a nice day, everyone.